The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. And let's start off with a little humor today. You call that a compliment? A little praise is always nice, except when it's a tad too honest. And there's a picture of somebody's rear end in blue jeans and a pink pen sitting on it says, "Did you used to be good looking?" One day, if the stars are aligned and you worked hard to do the right thing, you too might be lucky enough to receive a lovely compliment, like the one Nancy Fellen of Baraboo, Wisconsin, got a few years back. "When I was visiting my son, his fiancée, and their children," Nancy wrote to Reader's Digest, "I made them a specialty of mine, breakfast pizza. After eating several slices, my 8-year-old future grandson leaned back in his chair and proclaimed, 'This is so good, it makes my tongue dance.' Alas, life isn't always so sweet. In fact, we sometimes get treated to a more stinging kind of praise, the backhanded compliment. We ask you for some of your favorite zingers you've heard or endured. It's okay to laugh, because we did. I had joined an aerobics class made up of mostly older women like me. At first, it was difficult to follow all the steps, but after a few weeks, I felt that I had a good grasp of the routines. One day, a fellow classmate stopped me to say, 'I've been noticing you. You're very coordinated.' I couldn't have been prouder. 'Thank you,' I said. 'Yes,' she continued. 'Your shirt matches your pants, and your pants match your socks.'" Joyce Thomas in Stuart, Florida. "When I was in my 20s, I had a streak of gray hair. One day, a complete stranger noticed and said, 'I really like your gray hair. Where did you get it done?' 'Oh, thanks,' I said. 'It's natural.' She recoiled. 'Oh, my. What are you going to do about it?'" Donna Calvert, Leopold, Missouri. "A student stopped me in the hallway to say that she just learned that her mom had had me as a teacher. Then, after looking me up and down, she asked, 'Did you used to be good-looking?'" Bob Izzet, Spokane, Washington. "As a wannabe musician, I took advantage of every opportunity to play with the local recorder group. During a break in our first rehearsal, the woman sitting next to me, an accomplished musician, said, 'You have a beautiful vibrato. I was basking in the glow of her praise when she added, "You're not supposed to." Vicki Morrison Goble, Bemidji, Minnesota. "When my brother-in-law knew father-in-law, he took my hand and said warmly, 'You look just like your brother. He has a big nose, too.'" Marie Ball, Tarawanda, New York. "One morning, shortly after we got married in our 60s, my husband and I were sitting on a bed putting on our socks and shoes. Out of the blue, he reached over and patted me on the knee, saying, 'I'm so glad we got married.' He was being romantic, and I appreciate it." "Me too," I said. He continued, "Do you have any idea how nice it is to open my dresser door and find my underwear and socks all folded nice and neat?" KC, via rd.com. "After I sang a solo in church, an elderly gentleman offered me his highest compliment. 'I like your song for two reasons,' he said. 'You sang it well, and you didn't sing too long.'" Ann Abernathy, Colonial Heights, Virginia. "Somehow, a friend and I got on the subject of age, which led him to ask how old I was." 37, I said. He cocked his head and asked, "Is that all?" Mary Carruth, Mason, Texas. "A client was so impressed with my work, he made a point of calling me to tell me that he has named his new puppy after me." Sheila Compton, Carmichael, California. "In high school, a female classmate told me I'd make a really handsome guy." Kimberly Coleman, Danbury, Connecticut. "My grandma used to tell me, 'There's no conceit in your family. You've got it all.'" Devin Christensen, McFarland, Wisconsin. "We adopted our daughter from China when she was 9, and we soon discovered that common American phrases and idioms didn't come easily. Case in point, the time she tried to praise me for being outgoing and having lots of friends. With a great big smile, she declared, 'When I grow up, I want to be a big mouth just like you.'" Amy Reynolds, Springfield, Illinois. And there's a picture of a young girl with a face mask like we have to wear now. Said, "When I grow up, I want to be a big mouth just like you." Among my all-time favorite movies is Babe. In case you don't know, that's about a pig. For years, whenever I wanted to compliment someone, I quote the film famous line, "That'll do, pig, that'll do." Recently, I got my husband to watch the movie with me. When that scene came on, he turned to me stunned. "It's a compliment. All these years, I thought you were insulting me." Tiger Miller, Montague, New Jersey. Our boss at the factory was a grizzled New Yorker with a management philosophy that harked back to the sweatshops of old. A shift without being cussed out multiple times was considered a win. But one day, after I spotted and corrected a problem with one of the machines, he offered me the highest compliment he could think of. "Rich," he said, "you're stinking less at this job all the time." RP via RD.com. "Happy birthday. You don't look 60, but I remember when you did." Susie Barr, Rhodesia, Kentucky. From a reference letter written to my first boss. Sarah is very lazy. When given a task, she immediately figures out the easiest and quickest way to complete it. This tends to make her highly efficient. S.J. Garner, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I gained 50 pounds with my first pregnancy. 2 weeks after delivery, I heard someone whisper, "She doesn't look like she just delivered a baby." Judy Morse, Hopeville, California. My then wife and I were going through a divorce when we sat together to watch a TV show. It was about a New York City transit cop played by James Brolin, who was rescuing passengers trapped in a flooded subway. To my pleasant surprise, she said, "He's only an actor. You're trained to do that. Scout, Army, NYPD rescue, you could really save them, not him." It was a sweet moment that ended when she remarked, "Of course, he looks much better doing it." Albert Weyer, Seaford, Delaware. Years ago, I was giving a presentation at the Pentagon in order to get funding for a project. When I finished, the general I was briefing smiled wryly and said, "You should sell used cars." I don't think he meant it in a good way. Mickey Angus, Fredericksburg, Virginia. Back when my daughter was an infant, I was out pushing her in the stroller when a woman stopped us on the street. "My goodness, what a beautiful baby," she remarked. "Does she look like her father?" Peggy Greb, Lindsdale, Pennsylvania. These are terrible. After reading a poem I'd labored over, my mother said, "This is good, really good." I was beaming. Then she compelled to ask, "Are you sure you wrote it?" Teresa Baumbach, Kentor Marachis, New York. From an Englishman, "You speak well for an American." Mara Martin, Dallas, Texas. I was taking my 4-year-old grandson out of his car seat when he gazed into my eyes and delivered this bit of wisdom. "Papa, you're old, but at least you're not dead yet." Owen Wilkie, Brookline Station, Missouri. "Past the hard part. I don't want to exercise. I want to have exercised." The Genius Section. The truth about memory. Your brain doesn't work like a tape recorder. Sometimes that's a good thing. What would you be without your memories? How important is your ability to remember the past and to draw on it to inform your next move? I'll answer for you. It's right up there with breathing and eating. One would think that understanding how memory works would be a high priority for all people in all societies, considering memories form the foundation of our personalities and give meaning to our lives. The truth, however, is that most people, regardless of all intelligence or education, know little about memory. A revealing study by research psychologists David Daniel Simmons and Christopher Chabris asked people simple questions about memory and then compared their answers with those of experts in memory research. The results show how far removed from reality the public's belief about memory are. For instance, to the question, "Is there a video camera in your head?" 63% of people surveyed strongly agreed or mostly agreed that human memory works like a video camera, accurately recording the events we see and hear so that we can review and inspect them later. None of these experts, 0%, strongly agreed or mostly agreed that memory works like a video camera. When asked, is confident testimony necessarily accurate testimony? More than a third of the people, 37%, strongly or mostly agreed that testimony of one confident eyewitness should be enough evidence to convict a defendant of a crime. Not one expert used in the study strongly agreed or mostly agreed with this. 93.8% strongly disagreed. So how does memory work? I'd prefer to describe it as something like an old man sitting by a campfire somewhere deep in your brain. He means well and wants to help, but he doesn't show you your past like some wizard of the time portal. The best he can do is to tell you stories. And like all good storytellers, he edits for impact, efficiency, functionality, and clarity. He tells you what he assumes you need to know. Sometimes he may even embellish the tale by adding a bit of flavor, accuracy be damned. Or the old man might decide to leave out a few things in order to spare your pain or shame. He also makes honest mistakes, lots and lots of them. Sometimes he just gets confused or sloppy and leaves out something important. He could even include inaccurate information by accident. Maybe that special memory of your first kiss in middle school has been infiltrated by portions of a college experience or a scene from a movie you saw many years ago. In other words, memory is associative and constructive. There is no consistent, orderly, or rational sense to it. It's not like files are on computer, hard drive, arranged by a subject, or placed in chronological order. A memory will be tucked away and connected to other memories or concepts in ways that are not necessarily practical or logical. This is a particular smell or sound may bring up a memory even though it wasn't important at the original experience. As an aside, National Geographic, probably 30 years ago, did a thing where they sent you a package of different scents, and you had to write down what those scents made sense of, and then they did a big survey. It was very interesting. It also means the reason we can't always recall an instant memory we need, even if they're somehow in our neural jungle. Memories come to us in a way that is similar to how archaeologists and police detectives use bits of information, artifacts and clues, to construct stories about past people and events. It also helps to remember what memory cannot do. The first and most important lesson is that human memory is not reliable, not even close. Our memory processes did not evolve to keep accurate and detailed accounts of the events of our lives. The brain is not your personal stenographer or record keeper. You may believe you can replace something from the past, but you can't. You may see the past crystal clear in your mind, but that's not personal history you're watching. It's a docudrama at best. When you remember, your memory tells you a brain a story, and much may be lost in transit. The human brain is still a mysterious universe in many ways. Fortunately, though, enough has been revealed to us to offer some guidance toward wiser and safer navigations through daily life. Your memory is best thought of as a helpful input. It's packaged information sent to help us cope in the present and plan for the future. It's not meant to provide foolproof transcripts or recordings of what really happened. And while this can complicate our lives, it works just fine most of the time. We don't even remember every detail about everything. For more than 2 million years of human existence, we have survived and thrived in large part because our memory worked well enough. Even in our information-soaked, hyper-connected, and fast-changing world, it still does. But it doesn't. To me, that leaves a mystery. What about these people with photographic memories who can actually remember dates and times and things that happened at a specific point? 3 reasons to celebrate your faulty memory. 1, faulty memories can give self-esteem an artificial leg up. One of my favorite demonstrations comes from a study of university students asked to remember their high school grades. The researchers had the students' high school transcripts for cross-checking, so there was no reason to lie. Nevertheless, the students were substantially better at remembering their good grades than the bad ones. The A's and B's generally stuck in their memories very well, whereas the D's and F's tended to be recalled at a slightly higher grades. And in other words, what we remember fits, by and large, with reality, but the details can get skewed in ways that make us feel better about ourselves, smarter, kinder, more hardworking, not to mention better looking. Number two, they may help us recognize our core values. For examples, studies show that liberals will more readily develop false memories of fictional events than would embarrass conservative political leaders, whereas conservatives will more readily remember fictional events that would embarrass liberal leaders. Our memory biases benefit us by making us feel better about ourselves and our social groups. They also help us build bonds, number three. We often describe past events for other people depending on our different social goals. Sometimes we might want to entertain our audience, and other times we might want to accurately inform them. Sometimes we might know our audience has particular beliefs or attitudes, which makes us frame our story differently from what we otherwise might. One line of research has shown that retelling in different ways can actually change our own memory of what really happened. The memory can morph to fit, the way we tell the story becoming more similar over time to what we think our audiences want to hear. Reshaping our memories might help us feel more connected to people and perhaps help us integrate into groups and avoid conflicts. And I have a funny story about that. I'm going to go off script here. When I was in Vietnam, I was shot down in my helicopter. And we landed next to a rice paddy, and unfortunately we landed on the bank of the rice paddy and rolled the helicopter. A few years ago, I was at a meeting with my at a conference for members of my squadron, and my co-pilot at the time had become a Marine Corps general, three-star general, so he was pretty good, pretty smart guy. And he introduced me to his wife and says, "This is Jim, who when we crashed our helicopter, rolled down the side of a mountain." Actually, we rolled down the side of a mound on a rice paddy. So memory is not always accurate. Well, that ended last month's Reader's Digest, so let's start this month's, even though we're already a week into the month. Dear Reader, and there's a picture of two dogs, one brown and one white, lying in their doggy beds asleep. Sadie at Wright was so smart, but to appreciate a dog's life, she needed Steph. Obviously, Steph was a brown dog. We put our Australian herder, Sadie, down recently after she asked us to kindly do so. For 17-plus years, as I wrote here last February, she'd been a 24/7 worker, always tending to her humans, cattle being hard to come by in the suburbs. Then one day she lay down on her doggy bed, let her eyes fog over, and waited for us to get the message. It took us a week, and then we took her to the vet. Some of us want to wait too long, some not long enough, he said, examining her. This is perfect. She's ready. Yet another thing Sadie got exactly right and made easy for us. In our car, our younger dog, Steph, watched Sadie go in and kept her eyes on the vet's office door, ears up. They couldn't have been more different, Sadie and Steph. Rather than dumb and dumber, they were diligent and all dog. Steph wasn't interested in looking smart for the humans. Her talents are pre-human, smelling a million scents in the faraway woods, running helter-skelter after them, and then returning to her pack's warm bed to calmly await the next scents. Yet Sadie, ornery about the dogginess of other dogs, took to Steph from day one. Steph got her to lie near her and chill. She let Sadie nag her to behave. When we hiked, Sadie hard on her heels, Steph would disappear in a blur before circling back to break dance, bark, and try to get Sadie to play. Outrageous, Sadie would bark, but then she would play, sort of, hurting her sister a bit before letting her bolt free, like a receiver out for a long one. When the vet finished, I softly touched Sadie's warm body. It was beautiful to feel her finally completely at rest. The closest to this calm she'd been was lying next to Steph. A year ago, I challenged you to prove that your dog was smarter than Sadie. The stories you sent cheered us all. Now please go to Reader's Digest, that's rd.com/petpals, to share a special story of pet friendship. RD's Best Pet Pals contest honors our animals' profound capacity to bond. And thank you, as always, for contributing so much. Bruce Kelly, Editor-in-Chief, Reader's Digest. Letters. Notes on the December-January issue. The season for family miracles. The story of the woman bonding with the new stepmom over red coats they both wore around Christmas, inherited from their deceased moms, brought tears. My daughter was 4 when her grandmother died. She always says she doesn't remember much except she always wore her red coat. 2020 Holiday Shopping Guide. I once gave my grandson a freshly oiled cast-iron pan that was my dad's. He'd just moved into his own house, and I knew he loved cooking and cornbread, and has used it for years. The next year, I gave him gifts from my home that are special to me. The joy on my relatives' faces couldn't have been bought. Jane Greco, Maplewood, Minnesota. The Double Triple. This article about a medical team performing back-to-back triple organ transplants was amazing. As a widow of a donor, I know that the priceless gifts received from the donors deserve to be acknowledged. Without the loss and sacrifice of 2 families, these miraculous surgeries would not have been possible. Connie Johnson, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dear Reader, in one short letter, Bruce Kelly made me cry 3 times. First, for how sweet he and his boys are, and second, as I hope for the same relationship with my own twins at that not-so-far-off stage, and last, as I realized how old I am. Stacy McNichol, Mahoma, Illinois. We found a fix. You advise sliding an upside-down penny between the tire treads to see whether they're too worn. I think you meant to say replace them if all the Lincoln's head is visible, not any. If the majority of the penny can sink into the crevice, there's about 3/8 of an inch, which is plenty of tread. Fred Nakamoose, Albion, Illinois. Browling for Dust Bunnies. Mary Roach's mischief-loving Roomba made my entire family laugh. Exercise weights flank our end table because of Roomba's aptitude for trapping itself underneath. The day after I read this, along came Roomba to discover the Christmas tree lights. Time for more dumbbells. Richard Brewer, Reedville, Virginia. oldies but feel goodies. Thank you for explaining that our brains imprint on music from our youth. I grew up with the angelic sounds of Nat King Cole and the Beatles and couldn't understand why new music sounds so discordant. On the other hand, I never understood what my mom found in the hip-hop Charleston area. So we can blame our brains. Hazel Danias, Belfair, Washington. Everyday Heroes. I just read the story about Allison Malman, who, after losing her brother to suicide, started what's now the largest mental health advocacy organization for young adults. You published so many helpful tips to cope with mental illness that parallel what my therapist has been teaching me. Thank you for that. Aaron Stoops, Grove City, Pennsylvania. Hanky Panky. I believe my mother went to the same school of etiquette as Scott Turow. She taught me to always carry a handkerchief in my back pocket. My father taught me to always carry a good pocket knife in my front pocket. Gosh, I've got both. That's funny. These practices became habits that have endured for over 70 years. Also, my mother always said that a lady carries two hankies, one for show and one for blow. Wayne Christensen, Wenatchee, Washington. That's funny. I have both those things, a hanky and a pocket knife. I'm happy to know I'm not the only one who still carries a handkerchief everywhere. As a boy, almost 60 years ago, I got a new suit and asked my dad why only one back pocket had a button. He said the pocket with a button was for your wallet, and the pocket without a button was for your handkerchief. You always want to be quick to pull out your hanky, but slow to get your wallet. Alan Davis, Mopark, California. And there's a picture of a man standing on a, looks almost like a big outcrop of rock over what looks like a very cloudy valley. Onward and upward. Everyone hits a few headwinds on the turbulent path of life. There are plenty of tough moments that feel impossible to weather, and yet we made it. Was there a challenge you were particularly proud of mastering, an especially dark tunnel ended by an especially bright light? Would your story inspire others? Tell us about it and see it terms at rd.com/staying positive, and it might make it on the future Reader's Digest feature. Everyday Heroes. And there's a picture of a young woman, probably in her 30s, I would think, somewhat unusually shaped. She obviously has some physical problems, very serious physical problems. She's sitting on a three-wheeled scooter, and she has almost like a flowered stole around her neck. She's got red hair and a nice smile. Melissa Blake in the ensemble she modeled for the Runway of Dreams fashion show. From role model to runway model. A disabled activist won't let Twitter trolls stop her from seeing herself as she really is, a star. As a teenager in the 1990s, Melissa Blake interested in fashion. Unfortunately, fashion wasn't much interested in her. Blake, who has a genetic bone and muscle disorder and stands a little under 4 feet tall, couldn't find jeans or dresses in her size. Paging through Glamour and Cosmopolitan, she didn't see a single person who looked like her, and it hurt. That would have been a game changer for me, she says Blake, who has 26 surgeries before age 17 to treat her Freeman-Sheldon syndrome. Because of her condition, she can walk short distances with difficulty, but sometimes rides on an electric scooter. When you're a teenager, disabled or not, you deal with issues of self-esteem. If I had seen someone who looked like me, I would have felt really seen. Blake, 39, I called that pretty good, has spent her adult life trying to make up for that. She is a disability rights activist as well as a freelance writer whose work has appeared in the New York Times and Glamour. But she gained national following in 2019 after clapping back at trolls who made ugly comments about her online. During the last round of Trollgate, she tweeted, people said that I should be banned from posting photos of myself because I'm too ugly. So I'd just like to commemorate the occasion with these three selfies. And one of the greatest, I'll show you, responses of all time. Over the next year, Blake posted a new selfie every day. Some selfies were serious, like the ones where I talked about the disabilities or how I was feeling on a not-so-good day, she wrote on Refinery29.com. Some were fun and silly, showing off my love for photo filters, but each was a celebration and each carried a message. Her fans went wild, calling Blake a goddess and powerful woman. Wrote, worker girl, you is fab. I feel like every time I post a selfie or share something about my life as a disabled woman, that is a representation that is going to combat ableism, Blake told WBUR. Among her fans is Mindy Shear, founder and CEO of Runway of Dreams, which showcases fashion for people with disabilities. The show is part of the glitz and glamour of New York Fashion Week and includes appearances by designer Tommy Hilfiger, Paralympic snowboarding gold medalist Brenna Helkebe, and Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen. Last fall, Schneier asked Blake to be one of the event's 24 models. Melissa is a force to be reckoned with and unapologetic about the world should look like, Schneier says. Being able to put Melissa in an arguably the biggest fashion event of the year just hit home with how important it is to expand who consumers are in the fashion industry and who should be on runways or what we're really representing to the world model. Since the Runway of Dreams show was virtual, Blake's sister filmed her riding her scooter on a quiet street dressed in a graphic T-shirt, capris, and an oversized maroon vest with a fluffy fur collar. It was a little scary, Blake says of modeling, but she's glad she took the challenge. Often, when we think of access for people with disabilities, we think of buildings and employment, she says. But it's also important to have access to what's fun and enjoyable. Fashion isn't going to solve all the world's problems, says Blake. When disabled people are included, it sends a message that we deserve a seat at the table in all aspects of life, frivolous or not. More everyday heroes. And there's a picture of a countryside with, it looks like a small village with a river running around it, with a very bare, naked airstrip running down the side of the picture, and a little hangar off to one side, and a couple of very small airplanes sitting there. This landing strip was pitch black when the medevac pilot tried to land at night. It took a village. Ida Nelson was luxuriating in her sister's sauna when she heard the rumble of a small airplane circling the nearby airport. It was 11:30 at night in the Alaskan village of Igenig, population 70, and as she told the New York Times, any time a plane flies over that late, you know something is wrong. Nelson and her sister leaped out of the sauna, ran to the window, and saw the problem. The airport's runway lights were out. Nelson threw on some clothes, jumped into an ATV, and floored it to the airport, where she found a local pilot trying to turn on lights manually. Normally, if you push the button 10 or 15 times, the lights just light up, Nelson KTOO out of Juneau. Not this time. Meanwhile, she and the pilot learned of the plane's urgent mission. It was a medevac, there to transport a seriously ill local girl to the nearest hospital, 280 miles away in Anchorage. Nelson had a plan. Driving her ATV to the end of the runway, she shone her headlights on the tarmac for the plane to follow. Great idea, but it wasn't enough. More light was needed, so neighbor called nearly every home in the village, 32 of them. Within 20 minutes, 20 vehicles arrived at the airport, many of the drivers still in pajamas. Following directions from the medevac pilot, the cars lined up on one side of the runway. The medevac made its final approach and, guided by the headlights, landed safely. The young patient was loaded onto the aircraft, and the plane immediately took off again. Her illness was never publicly revealed, but she has since been released from the hospital. In a world filled with uncertainty, the little community's positive activism was a big deal. Not so much for Nelson, as she told CNN in Igigook. Coming together is kind of a normal deal here. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. A trusted marketplace. For the past 85 years, we have played a vital role in delivering trusted, independent, rigorously tested information to help consumers navigate the marketplace. That was essential when we started in 1936 and remains just as critical today as we emerge from pandemic and the economic devastation caused by it. Because just as when we first hung the sign on the door, we are now seeing the perils of misinformation run rampant in society and a lack of trust in our institutions. As the articles on genetic home testing kits, that's at page 34, the issues confronting consumers today are more complex and consequential than ever before. The potential for good on both fronts is enormous. There is the possibility to get a glimpse of your origins or to learn about potential medical conditions, not to mention the ability for scientists to use vast troves of data to spark advances. For credit reporting, there is the ability to safeguard your financial future by tracking and gaining insight into your individual scores. And yet the potential for harm exists. 2, bad actors and lack of trustworthy information in either of these arenas could seriously threaten our privacy and security. The central marketplace issues of tomorrow may be more digitized and less evident than those of the past, but they require standards just as high and safeguards just as thoughtful in order to ensure our safety and well-being. With so much at stake in achieving a modern marketplace that works for all, particularly in this moment when we are beginning to emerge from a crisis and rebuild our economy for the future, CR will continue to lead the way on behalf of our members and all consumers to ensure that the path forward includes trusted information and policies that put people first. Marta L. Tellado, President and CEO. Building a better world together. Join with us to make it safer, fairer, healthier marketplace. Any surprise medical bills? What's at stake? Long before anyone ever heard of COVID-19, U.S. consumers were plagued by surprise medical bills. These are typically charges for medical care that a patient believed would be covered by insurance, but turn out to have been provided by an out-of-network doctor or other provider. Almost 1 in 5 emergency room visits triggers a surprise medical bill, and they often amount to many thousands of dollars. The pandemic has only made the problem worse. Loopholes in COVID-19 relief legislation have made many consumers vulnerable to large medical bills for tests and treatments they reasonably assumed would be covered by insurance. How CR has your back? CR has been fighting surprise medical bills for much of the past decade, most recently as part of No Surprises Coalition. CR advocates have helped pass state-level bans, briefed federal legislative staffers on the issue, recruited patients to tell their stories in public forums, and collected thousands of consumer signatures demanding legislative action. All of these efforts have finally paid off. The $900 billion pandemic relief bill signed in law December 27th included provisions that, among other things, end balance billing, the practice of charging consumers the difference between provider charge and the insurance allowed amount, ensure that the emergency room care is billed at in-network rates, and relieve consumers of the burden of negotiating surprise bills with providers. Even enormous air ambulance charges, a problem CR called attention to in a May 2017 report, remember that, are now banned. The restriction on surprise bills go into effect January 1, 2022. What you can do? Until then, learn how to fight surprise medical bills at cr.org/surprise0321. Bridging the digital divide. What's at stake? Throughout the COVID-19 crisis, millions of us have headed online every day to get food, healthcare, education, and work, not to mention connect with family and friends. It's no surprise that in a nationally representative survey of 2,164 U.S. adults last April, 4/5 said access to broadband is as vital as electricity and running water. But there are obstacles to getting broadband service for some, especially in rural areas, and a lack of competition among providers has enabled costs to soar, shutting out the most financially vulnerable Americans. Almost half of low-income households don't have broadband internet at home. How CR has your back. As Congress debated COVID-19 relief, CR pushed for an emergency program defraying the cost of broadband. More than 88,000 people signed a CR petition to write and wrote emails calling on Congress to help. When the relief bill passed, CR scored a win. $3.2 billion would go to help struggling families stay connected. Up to $50 per month in internet assistance. What you can do? Learn more about CR's Digital Lab and its fight for digital rights at lab.cr.org. Banning toxic packaging. What's at stake? CR has reported extensively on per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS. Known forever chemicals, because they don't easily break down by the environment or the human body. Exposure has been linked to an array of health problems, including cancer and immune disorders, as well as learning delays in children. Manufacturers add PFAS to food packaging to make it water and grease resistant, but it contaminates the food it touches. The Food and Drug Administration has detected PFAS in foods sold around the country, including produce, meat, seafood, and dairy products. How CR has your back. CR advocates are working on state and federal policymakers to minimize exposures to PFAS. In December, CR helped pass a law banning PFAS-containing food packages in New York, which joins Washington and Maine as the first states to such prohibitions. What you can do? Learn more about the risk of PFAS and how to protect yourself at cr.org/PFAS0321. Call to action. Your credit report can make or break your financial future, particularly potentially determining whether you get a home loan, affordable auto insurance, or even a job. Yet credit reports can be rife with errors, and most Americans don't check their records annually. So CR is launching the Credit Checkup Sign Up. Sign up and we'll show you how to check your credit report free of charge and what errors to look for. And we'll ask you to report back to us on the results, which will help us hold credit bureaus more accountable. Sign up at cr.org/creditcheckup and learn more about how to protect your credit score. Connecting you now, CR wants to close the gap between those who have access to digital material symbols and those who don't. Our January cover story, Your Ultimate Smart Home Toolkit, offered a guide to smart speakers, thermostats, doorbells, and TVs, and how to connect them. Here our readers discuss the smart home experiences. To join the conversation, go to cr.org/smarthome0321. I have to say, the Ecobee thermostat we bought has been amazing. Apple HomeKit has worked great with it. It turns on when someone comes to home or says good morning to Siri and turns down when nobody is home or we tell Siri good night. It has started learning these things on its own, too, so if we miss something, it usually figures it out. We plan on getting one for my mother. It's simple enough to use that she won't be intimidated by all it can do. Sean Carson via Facebook. I have three zones in my house and three Honeywell Wi-Fi thermostats. They aren't particularly smart in that they have no sensors in addition to temperature and no self-learning, but they work with Google Home, Google/Google Assistant, and Honeywell app to be controlled and programmed accordingly. And for $80 each, it's an easier pill to swallow when you need more than one. A connected thermostat like Honeywell's can send alerts to a smartphone email for various conditions, like low temps or if it loses connection with the service, usually in the event of a power failure. These are nice options, and you don't need a $250,000 thermostat to get them. Mike Schmidt via Facebook. Your article helps prospective customers identify devices for home automation, but just saying that the smart speakers will tie everything together is an oversimplification, particularly when dealing with devices that use different communication protocols. For example, most water leak detectors will detect the leak, send a command to turn off the water flow, thus avoiding flood damage, then use home Wi-Fi to communicate to the homeowner via email text. This is a good thing, but if the water system also has a recirculation pump installed, this needs to be turned off, too. And here's where items like SmartThings or Wink hubs play a part in the home's automation solution. These hubs handle a variety of protocols and allow complex automation scenarios, allowing companies to compound decisions. Rick Gruber via CR.org. Smart home devices from beds to thermostats capture detailed information about our homes and our daily activities. Such information can be transmitted to manufacturers or software companies that then sell it to others for marketing purposes. It's a gross violation of privacy, and it's the reason I won't be buying smart devices. Jeffrey Nash. Editor's note, here at CR, we think consumers need far more control over who uses this data and for what purpose. To learn more about how we're working on Protect Your Digital Privacy on Connected Devices and Services, go to cr.org/dataprivacy. You rated the Eufy TS200 video doorbell as having poor privacy. I bought its sibling product because it stores video locally and not in the cloud. Why do you rate it poorly? Dave Crockett, Sunnyvale, California. Editor's note, our data privacy score is a measure of how the device and or its service provider collects, share, and use your data, as well as the user's ability to control the flow of their data. For video doorbells, we use our analysis primarily on user interface and publicly available materials, like privacy policies, which detail companies' claims on how they collect, share, and use one's data, video data. That analysis shows that video doorbells from other companies have better policies and controls than the Eufy T200. Also that, in general, storing content locally isn't likely to be more secure or private than in the cloud, unless you can assure that the local copy is the only one and can't be accessed without your permission. Tesla Talk. Your Tesla Model Y review, January 2021, and earlier Tesla Model 1 review, 3 reviews list long charging times and limited range as lows. Are you comparing range with ICE, internal combustion engine vehicles? I believe Tesla's EPA range, long-range model, is currently the longest available for any BEV. And if you have a VA Tesla supercharger, a charge might take 30 minutes. Editor's note, Tesla models do have impressive range. The Y is claimed to have 326 miles, the S 402 miles. but we believe it's our obligation to present not only economic and environmental effects of EVs, but also their shortcomings. Despite significant improvements, even the best EVs don't match the range of an ICE vehicle, and our quick chargers are still not nearly as fast as stopping to get gas at a service station. You give the Tesla Model Y an overall score of 50, decidedly on the low side, yet you assign a favorable score of 78 to the Tesla Model 3, which you indicate is essentially the same car except for a body size. The detailed ratings for each can show that the Model Y does as well or perhaps a bit better than the Model 3, except for reliability. Clearly, you give great weight to reliability, greater than do the owners, because owners of both cars give the highest possible owner satisfaction score to each. Editor's note, consumers consistently tell us that reliability and safety are the most important factors when they buy a new car, and so we do weigh those factors most heavily in the overall score. But we realize that some drivers may have different priorities. That's why we also list the road test score separately from the overall score. So you can see that the Model Y did slightly better in our road test than the Model 3. Diabetes, COVID-19 concerns. Ooh, this touches home. Does why diabetes plus COVID-19 is so dangerous, January 2020, only in type 2 diabetes, also include those with type 1 diabetes. Government websites consider those with type 2 diabetes to be at increased risk of COVID-19 complications, and those with type 1 diabetes might be at an increased risk of COVID-19 complications. Yes, our article applies to people with type 1 and type 2 diabetes. This is the editor's note. People with well-managed type 1 diabetes, those with type 2 appear to be at greater risk of COVID-19 complications. This is in part because type 2 is often associated with obesity and heart disease, which are risk factors in their own right for COVID-19 complications. But researchers and physicians are finding that anyone with blood sugar issues caused by type 1 or type 2 diabetes may be at higher risk if more serious cases of COVID-19. Also, type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease and can impair a person's ability to fight an infection like COVID-19, especially if blood sugar levels are not well controlled. So it's key for those with either type 1 or type 2 diabetes to keep their blood sugar levels in check. Yogurt history. As an Armenian Greek born in Providence, Rhode Island in 1947, I must take issue with your CR Time Traveler Insights assertion that the 1942 Daniel Carasso Danone starts the first American yogurt company. If you Google Colombo yogurt, you'll see that in 1929, Rose and Sachs Colombosonian Armenian immigrants started the first yogurt dairy in Andover, Mass. They shortened the name for easier pronunciation. Editor's note, we welcomed your feedback and completely respect the Colombosonian family's rich legacy as yogurt producers. We carefully checked our sourcing and appreciate the additional context. Readers fare their favorite oatmeal tips. Regarded what's in your oatmeal cup? Insights from January 2021. I blend a handful of oats with some plain tea as the beginning of a smoothie, then add to whatever fresh and frozen fruits I have, usually bananas and raspberries, plus an egg or some ground flaxseed. Drinking my oatmeal means I don't lose any nutrients due to cooking, and there's a cost to convenience. Those individual oatmeal cups are very, very expensive. There are lots of choices for oatmeal, but I use raw honey and cinnamon to sweeten mine. There's no need to buy single-serving oatmeal cups. Quaker old-fashioned oats cook in the microwave in 2.5 minutes. Couldn't be easier, or there's a lot less packaging waste. What we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review and rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. Energy-efficient refrigerators. Actually, if you live in Texas, you could just go outside and be frozen. So we tested 97 models. We tested for thermostats control, temperature, uniformity, and more. About the scores, the bottom freezer, medium 71 to range 40 to 81. Top freezer, medium 61, range 40 to 78. And side-by-side, median 66, range 45 to 79. The top-notch bottom freezer was the LG LRDC 263S, $1,400. $72 energy cost per year. It got an 81 overall score. Low-cost top freezer is a Frigidaire Gallery FGTR, $900, 55 average energy cost per year, and it got a 78. Spacious side-by-side, the Samsung RH25HS511, $1,700 at $77 energy cost per year, and it got a 73. It doesn't give the cubic feet on those, and that kind of makes a difference too. Laser printers. We tested 77 models. We test for graphics quality, text quality, speed, and more. The black and white all-in-one, the medium was 76, the range was 69 to 81. Black and white regular, median 76, range 69 to 81. Color regular, median 79, to range to 54 to 69. Besides, it includes a scanner, Brother HJ-L3295DW, black and white all-in-one for $180, got it 80. Speedy text printing, the Lexmark B2338DW, black and white regular at $150, got an overall score of 80 as well. The color laser printing deal, HP Color Laser Jet Pro, M255DW, color regular $300, got a 67. What should I look for in a laser printer for my home? The best laser printers direct kitsch tests with great speed, making them a smart pick for a home office. Black and white models such as the two above are cost-effective when printing text and don't waste ink the way inkjet models do. But if you need to print graphics, try a color laser like the HP above, which rates very good at printing charts. And also look for a model with auto-duplexing, which prints on both sides of a page, and Wi-Fi Direct, which allows printing directly from an in-range smartphone without being connected to your home Wi-Fi. If the printer has a scanner, having OCR optical character recognition software included is useful for making scans editable in a word processor. Latte-capable coffee makers. Ooh, that sounds like fun. We tested 152 models, 13 of which included a milk frother. We test for performance, speed of brewing, and convenience, and more. About the scores. All single serve, the median was 72, range from 35 to 71. Well, that's a big range. And all drip, the medium 68, range from 34 to 90. Wow. Best single serve pod style, Nespresso by DeLongri, CITZ, $300, 88 overall score. Has full-size drip carafe, Ninja Specialty for $170, got an 82. Quick and consistent brewing, Keurig K-Cap Special Edition Coffee Latte and Cappuccino Maker for $200, got a 71 overall score. Smart speakers for $100 or less. We tested 20 models. We tested for sound quality, ease of use, including wireless setup, console and voice controls, versatility of useful features, and more. Bargain for Alexa users. Amazon Echo, fourth generation at $70, got a 65. Great deal for Google users. Google Nest Audio, $100, got a 63. Affordable Apple users. Apple Home iPad, HomePod Mini, $100, got a 50 overall score. Four-slice toasters. We tested six models. We tested how well a toaster can bake both very light and very dark toast, how fast it can toast a full batch of bread, ease of use, ease of cleaning, and more. About the scores, the median was 79, the range was 69 to 83. Speed and tops at toasting. The Cuisinart CP142 toaster at $50 got an 82. Easy to use and clean. The Breville BTA840XL smart toaster, $180. Wow, scored an 80. Lux pick and long warranty Wolf Gourmet Four Lows toaster, $400, got a 78. Wow. Considering one was the top rated was $50 and the next one down was $400, that's a big spread. Carpet cleaners. We tested 16 models. Okay. We tested for how well. Sorry about that. My iPad suddenly decided to wake up and make noises. Carpet cleaners. We tested 16 models. We test for how well a model removes red clay stain from carpet, how much wet solution it leaves behind after cleaning, how noisy it is during use, and more. About the scores, the median was 57, the range was 25 to 71. Best overall performance, Bissell ProHeat 2X Liftoff, $300, 71. Great value, Hoover Power Dash at $90, got a 69. And cleans well but noisy, the Bissell Turbo Brush Power Clean at $100, and that got a 69 as well. Ask our experts. Is buying a used appliance a good idea? Our experts say that buying a lightly used appliance can be a smart move, particularly when it comes to ranges, washers, dryers, and refrigerators. Our research found that you might pay about half price of a new model. Sometimes buying and installing a used appliance can even cost less when repairing a current broken one. It takes some legwork and you need to be willing to live with a mismatched kitchen or laundry suite, but in return you can find a top-of-the-line appliance for a fraction of what it would cost new, says Jim Nanny, Director of Appliance Testing at CR. You may even get features you couldn't afford otherwise. We recommend looking in used appliance stores or local repair shops instead of places such as Facebook Marketplace or yard sales. Prices tend to be lower at local shops, and we found that many offer a warranty with coverage ranging from 6 weeks to 6 months, including parts and labor. Plus, some repair shops have technicians who inspect appliances and replace worn-out parts before selling. Thrift stores may also offer good deals, but their pre-sale inspections might not go beyond plugging an appliance to ensure that it turns on. Whenever you shop, always try to learn the age of the appliance. That way you can balance its remaining useful life with its price. Go to cr.org/used0321 for a list of how long different types of appliances are estimated to last. It's also smart to check to see how the brand of any used appliance scores in CR's brand reliability ratings. Go to cr.org/reliable0321 for a helpful brand ratings chart. Do I need to wear a mask after I get the COVID-19 vaccine? Wearing a mask, even after being vaccinated, is still crucial. That's because there still may be many people who haven't received a vaccine, and scientists are still learning more about whether being vaccinated also prevents you from spreading the coronavirus. By the way, that also means that they found that several people who've had the virus have got this virus again from these new forms, so that obviously means you should wear your mask. Keeping your mask clean also continues to be important. If you're using a washable one, you should clean it at the end of every day you use it rather than wearing it unwashed for multiple days in a row, advises James Dickerson, Ph.D., CR's Chief Scientist Officer. Run it through the laundry with your usual detergent and wash it by hand. Soak it in a solution of 1/4 cup bleach and 1 gallon of room temperature water, then give it a vigorous scrub. Be sure to rinse it thoroughly and let it dry completely before you wear it. For a mask with a pocket for a PM2.5 filter, named because it catches pocket matter with a 2.5 micrometers in diameter, manufacturers revise replacing the filter after 6 to 24 hours of active use, which is exactly what I do. Discoloration can also be a sign that a filter should be replaced. Insert a clean one when your mask is dry. Remember that disposable masks should be thrown away after one use, and whenever removing or handling a used mask, touch it only on the ear loops or ties, then wash your hands. Is it safe to buy discounted pet medications online? The use of pet meds and supplements continues to increase each year, according to the American Pet Products Association. The medications can be expensive. Heartworm medication alone costs dog owners $86 per year on average, cat owners $45. While buying medications directly through your vet may be the priciest option, some experts also think it's the easiest way to be sure prescription medications are safe. The National Association of Boards of Pharmacy reviewed over 22,000 online pharmacies and found that almost 95% don't meet NABP patient safety and pharmacy practice standards or applicable laws. The scope of the problem is expansive, the NABP says. The good news, you can rest assured that NABP-approved retailers are safe and respectable and reputable. So it's fine to buy pet medications online as long as you do your homework and make sure the retailer is approved first. Learn whether a website has been approved by the NABP by copying its URL into a search box at a safe pharmacy. Approved websites include 1-800-PET-MEDS, Chewy, and PetCareRx. Travel mugs that stay hottest and longest. And another aside from me, I got a travel mug from an organization I volunteered with. I have no idea where they got it or who manufactured it. It's the best one I've ever had. It keeps coffee hot for 6 or 7 hours. The top performer stays hot. That's a Zushi 16-ounce at $25. It has a great temperature, 5 for 5 at temperature reduction, 4 for 5 for top cleaning, 5 for 5 for gasket removal, and 6-point gasper replacement. An insulated travel mug lets you transport your favorite drink, hot or cold, anywhere you go. And a good one feels like it was designed with your routine and even you in mind. I have one here at the desk with me. It slips effortlessly into a cup holder and opens easily so that you can sip safely while keeping your eyes on the road. You arrive with a drink that's still hot. But some travel mugs promise all that and don't deliver anything except a tepid drink that spills onto your lap. One of the most interesting findings was some well-known brands such as Yeti fell short of the competition, says Bernie Dietrich, CR's test engineer for travel mugs. In certain cases, the mug would be beautifully styled, but the lid would be hard to open or would allow heat to escape or liquid to spill. Our test of 10 popular mugs included a shake test to see how well they resist spills and leaks, how easy they are to clean, and how many hours it took for mugs to fill with 212 Fahrenheit water to drop to 140 degrees. The 16 and 20-ounce mugs here are some of the slimmest in our test, including easy fitting a variety of vehicle cup holders, and though every mug kept drinks hot for at least a few hours, the Zola Rouge above outlasted them all by keeping drinks hot for 13 and a half hours, 6 hours longer than the closest competitor. Dietrich also says it looks for a mug with a removable, replaceable gasket, the thin silicone circle around the lid that helps prevent leaks because it can wear out and or smell. Being able to remove it for cleaning and swap in a new one means that your mug can last longer. Another good mug is the built-in hook for tea, bath, stays hot for 75 hours, Thermos Stainless King, 16-ounce at $20, and has good temperature retention, top cleaning, gasket removal, and gasket replacement, all top four. Budget-friendly but tricky to clean, stays hot for 5.5 hours. Bubba Hero, 20-ounce at $12. Good temperature retention, okay, top cleaning, gasket removal, and basket replacement. The Yeti, easy to clean but leak-proof, stays hot for 4.5 hours, 20 ounces at $30, and you're paying for the name with that one. It's got a mediocre temperature retention, good top cleaning, mediocre gasket remover, and gasket replacement. And that's almost done, almost time to go, but let's do a couple of jokes here. Wise beyond their years, my granddaughter's life philosophy, which she quoted in her third-grade essay, money can't buy happiness, but it can buy cows. Cows can make milk, and milk can make ice cream. Ice cream can make you happy. Wife, the Romers were gluttons. They overdid everything. Daughter, age 11, you can't overdo a water park. I asked my cousin's four-year-old nephew, what are you going to be when you grow up? He replied, still me. Ah, gorgeous night for a walk. That's me moving from the couch to the chair. And with that, we have run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.